Very good. Very good. So this day, as you probably know, is a very special day to be able to, as you come this morning. You dress a little bit nicer often when you come. You have more of your kind of your family here, or kind of those that are close to you that are here. And one of the things that normally happens on this very special day is a lot of times you'll receive gifts. A lot of times you'll receive like a Bible or maybe a rosary, or sometimes there's special First Communion prayer books that people will receive that will have prayers in them. And so maybe you've received some of those things now. Maybe you'll receive them afterwards. Sometimes people will come up and have me bless different things that they can use, which is great. But for as special as those things are, they're nothing in comparison with the gift, the very special gift that you're going to receive in Holy Communion, because you're going to receive the body and blood of our Lord, the body and blood of our Lord. Before Jesus is crucified on the cross, he gathers his apostles together in the upper room to celebrate what we call the Last Supper with them. And when he does that, he takes bread and wine, and he says these very special words. He says, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you," with the bread. And then with the wine, he says, "Take and drink. This is my blood given for you." And if that sounds really familiar to you all, it's because it's what we say in Mass. It's what the priest says. Because it's not just a one-time event that happened a long time ago, but it's something that is passed down and handed on to us. So at every Mass, the priest is able to offer the bread and wine to become the body and blood of Christ. And we don't think that it's just a symbol or just a reenactment or just a representation, but it actually does become truly the body and blood of our Lord, even though it'll look like ordinary bread and wine. And so from that, I say that's the greatest gift that you're going to receive, because you're going to receive the life of God within you, within your hearts. And by having that, you're going to be able to grow with our Lord. And every Mass that you're able to receive, you're going to be able to grow with our Lord in that. And just keep that in mind as you get older. Sometimes this can get lost on people, that it's truly the body and blood of our Lord. That's what really makes our faith special. It's the central, what they call, mystery of our faith. So that's one, that's the most amazing gift that you're going to receive all day above anything else. But I have another gift for you that I will give. So at the end, after Mass, we'll take pictures. And I'm going to give you this card when you come up to get your photo. Now, who can tell me who's in this picture? You can say it. Yeah, Mary. Mary's in this picture. So this card, it says at the top, "Jesus is calling you." And then there's a picture of our Blessed Mother, Mary. And then below, there's a quote from the Gospel of John that says, "Do whatever he tells you." And that comes from when Jesus and Mary are at this wedding feast in Cana, and they run out of wine, and they come and approach Mary, and they say, "Do whatever he tells you." And that's when Jesus performs his first public miracle. And then on the back of that, of this card, there's a prayer, and it says, "Prayer to know my vocation." Prayer to know my vocation. Now, a vocation, it's not a vacation that you might take with your families, but a vocation is a calling that we have in our life. And so there's one big call that everybody has, which is to go to heaven. That's our main call, to be saints, to go to heaven, to be holy. But to help us in that, the Lord also gives us each individually special calls to live that out. And so for you boys, you might be called to be husbands and fathers. Some of you girls, you will be called to be wives and mothers. But you might also receive a different call, which is if you're a boy, to be a priest. Or if you're a girl, to be a religious sister. Boys can be religious brothers too. But you have to ask the Lord, "Lord, what is it that you are calling me to? How are you calling me to serve either a family or to serve the church?" And so we need to ask God to reveal that, to show that to us. And that's what this prayer is here to help you to do. So what I want you to do is to take this card, and I want you to put it somewhere special, somewhere where you'll remember it. And I want you to pull it out when you can and pray it. Pray it with your families. Pray it together that you may, the Lord may reveal to you what he, who he's calling you to be. And so I thought that I would just pray this prayer with you. So we'll begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I glorify you, God, in all that I do. In mind, body, and spirit, I give my best to you. Help me to follow your will, no matter the call. Sister, brother, or priest, I promise my all. If you call me to marriage, I promise to love and to teach my own children to seek grace from above. And everyone can pray this with me together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So remember to grab one of these cards before you leave today. Thank you. So I wanted to just say a few words, too, about the road to Emmaus, because this is such a profound gospel. When the two disciples encounter Jesus on the road to Emmaus, they don't recognize him initially. But there's a specific point that they do. And that's when he opens the scriptures to them and also breaks bread with them. And it says that after that, their hearts were burning. We might ask the question, well, why at that particular point? Why would that happen? And why didn't they recognize him before that? Well, there's a lot of ways to interpret that, lots of speculation around that. But it wasn't because they didn't know who Jesus was. It wasn't because they didn't know what he looked like. But it's because they're seeing him in this isolated context that's sort of amidst all these confusing narratives about him rising from the dead. And they themselves actually seem a little uncertain about what to believe. They're conversing and debating about it as they walk along. And just on a human level too, how often can we see someone kind of out of our normal context that we might see them and not recognize them? I have to admit that sometimes when I'm out and about in Dodge City, I might see some of you or other parishioners, and I might not recognize you initially just because I'm not seeing you in church, or it's just kind of out of context. That happens a lot more than I care to admit. But when Jesus then opens the scriptures for them, he then connects the prophecies of his passion, death, and resurrection. And what it does is it grounds them in a tradition. And it's a tradition that they would have known well. What it does is it brings everything together. It connects everything about who Jesus is. And the same thing can happen to us when we hear a connection in scripture, maybe something we've never recognized before. Oh, I never noticed that. And there could be this aha moment, this light bulb moment that can happen. And I fear that in our modern world, we've really lost that connection to our tradition. We've sort of lost that knowledge of scripture and its connection to Christ. And so when that happens, when that separation occurs, Jesus then just becomes this great historical figure. He becomes this great prophet, maybe a teacher, maybe a nice guy that everybody likes. But he's not seen who he is. His identity is not fully revealed. People don't see him as the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. That gets completely cut off. St. Jerome, who's a fourth century doctor of the church, once said that ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. And that's really true. If we don't know the scriptures, if we don't know the Bible, then it's going to be almost impossible for us to really know who Jesus is if we lose that connection. But the good news is that we can study scripture. And there's lots of resources that are available, lots of good Catholic resources that are available to be able to help us to see those connections and really understand who Jesus is in light of all of the prophecies. And the most important place that we do this is the Holy Mass, where we come and we hear the word proclaimed with the church, with readings that are specifically paired together to be able to shed light on something. And hopefully there's a good homily to be able to explain those scriptures and be able to bring all of that together. But we don't just come to listen. We don't just come to Mass for a Bible study and then we all go home. But we also receive the bread of life, the body and blood of our Lord, as I just explained to the first communicants. We receive Jesus' very life within us. And that really transforms our being. It gives us grace, sanctifying grace, the life of God that is really dwelling within us. And that should make our hearts burn. It should help us make it should make us be on fire for the Lord. Now, you might be thinking, well, Father, I come to Mass every week, and there are times that I don't walk out of Mass on fire. I don't feel a fire. And that's because we confuse the fire with a feeling. Confuse the fire with a feeling. Because the fire itself is not a feeling. While there can be passion, and oftentimes after people have a conversion or a reversion to the faith, they can feel this fire, but then eventually that kind of goes out. But the fire itself is actually us being converted interiorly, being formed into Christ, giving us what we need to live a holy life. That includes the crosses that we endure, but also the moments of resurrection that we have as well. All of that is contained in the Holy Eucharist, in the life of God. And what we're called to do, our responsibility, is to open our hearts, to come to Mass with an open heart, an open disposition, and really let the Lord do his work. Because if we do that, if we come to Mass with open hearts, then our hearts will burn and we'll recognize the Lord's glory.